If you would, please open your Bibles to the book of Philemon, the letter to Philemon. As was mentioned, we do have visitors with us. We're glad that you are here. We hope that what we have to say this evening might be an encouragement to you and for everyone who's here, so that we might draw closer to the Lord, might worship Him with reverence and awe. Imagine yourself, if we go back in time to about 62 AD, it's 2,000 years ago, you are walking with your friend. His name happens to be Tychicus, and you are traveling from Rome all the way back to Colossae. It's probably about 1,000 miles. This arrow, of course, is as the crow flies. It wouldn't have gone that straight of a course. In that day, it would have taken days, not weeks, months, to go this distance. But you're going with your brother and friend back to Asia Minor. And as you are walking, perhaps on a road that would look like this, this is a Roman road, ruins of a Roman road that went to the city of Colossae. As you rise above the hill, you see it in front of you, Colossae, and this is the mound where the ancient city of Colossae was built in the first century. But when you see Colossae, it doesn't bring back good memories, because the last time you were here, you were afraid. You were running. You had been a slave, and you had stealed away in the night and perhaps had stolen some things from your master before you left. You somehow made it to Rome, where a lot of slaves had gone. In fact, they say that there were more slaves, many more slaves in Rome than there were freemen. And through a series of circumstances, you find yourself in front of this aged man in prison whose name was Paul. He was in prison. He had a couple of soldiers, one on either side, and he was waiting for trial there in Rome. He talked to you about Jesus Christ, and it touched you. You wanted to hear more, and you became a believer in Jesus Christ. And you heard more, and you wanted to change your life so that you could be forgiven of your sins, so that you could have a new start in Jesus Christ. You were baptized into Christ. You were born again, and you kept learning and kept wanting to grow. And at some point, Paul said, you know what? You're going to have to go back home. You're going to have to deal with this. And so here you are with Tychicus, your friend and brother in Christ, and you're on your way back to the house of your master. This is the ruins of Colossae. Obviously, you have to picture this with roofs on top of these columns. It wasn't a ruin back then. It was in good shape. But perhaps one of these streets was a street that Onesimus and Tychicus walked down. It's interesting. You might keep your finger here in Philemon, but go back to Colossians. This letter to the Colossians apparently was delivered at the same time, because you have in chapter 4 in verses 7, 8, and 9, Tychicus, who is my beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all of the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things that are happening here. Apparently, there was a church meeting in Philemon's house, and that was the church at Colossae to whom this letter to the Colossians was written. But Paul had a special letter to the individual, the homeowner, the Christian there, named Philemon. And he wanted Philemon to know something about this Onesimus who had returned home. So imagine you are Onesimus. You are this slave that had run away, now become Christian, sent back to your slave owner, and you're standing there in front of your former master. Now, the Roman law allowed for extremely harsh treatment for a runaway slave who's been caught. You could brand him on his forehead, you can give him double the labor, and you can beat him to whatever regard you wish. So he's standing in front of this master of his, and his master opens the letter, and it begins. And let's either listen to the letter that was to Philemon, or read it along with me. We're going to read it three times, is my plan this evening. We're going to read it through with a little different emphasis each time. So let's read this letter as if you are Philemon, as if you're sitting here, Onesimus is standing in front of you, and you open the letter from the Apostle Paul. So how would you, as Philemon, hear these words? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayer, hearing of your faith and of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all of the saints, that the sharing of your faith might become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation of your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, and on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but much more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But, meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So how would you have heard this if you were Philemon? What were the expectations of Paul for you? I think it's interesting that he says two times, one at the beginning and one at the end, something very similar. In verse 7 he says, have great joy and consolation of your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philemon was a man of faith. He was a man who did what was right. He was a man who had a good heart. He was a man who loved the Lord and loved the brethren. And that had an effect on people that were around him. It refreshed them. It made them feel better. It made them feel encouraged just to know of this man of some physical means, but this man of faith, Philemon. But he has something that he's going to need to do, Philemon. And if we jump forward to verse 20, he says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Let's just not look at the past, Philemon. Let's look at the present into the future. You can refresh my heart again if I find out that you have received this and done what is good and what is right and what is acceptable. How pleasant it is, how wonderful it is when we can communicate with brethren and we can express our thoughts to brethren without being couched in warnings and hard language because they're not doing what's right, but couched in comfort and in love and in faith toward them, knowing that they are willing to do what's right. It's interesting that the word Philemon has within it the word phileo. Philemon was a man who loved. He loved others. And Paul was going to depend on that with Philemon. Because what is it that he wanted Philemon to do? The word receive. Did you hear the word receive a few times in the letter? You need to receive Onesimus back to you. Here he is with this runaway slave in front of him. And as Roman law would have it, had the right to beat him to his death. Paul says, you need to look at this man differently now. He's not just a slave who has run away. He's now your brother. And that is going to have some expectations that are placed upon it. What a tremendous lesson for us to be able to look at. Sometimes we have to talk to brethren very strongly, but many times we don't have to browbeat brethren into doing what's right. We simply have to ask. We have to encourage. We have to urge them on. He gave him reasons why he should accept this challenge of receiving him back. Let's read it again. And let's read it from the viewpoint of Onesimus. I don't know what was in the mind of Onesimus as he stood there before Philemon. You know, it's one thing for you to trust the Lord, and it's another thing for you to trust your brother, to follow what the Lord asks him to do. I don't know if he has already read the letter that he was handing him that was written from Paul. Perhaps Paul told him what was in the letter before he went. Maybe it was for the first time. But I'm sure that there was just a little bit of apprehension in the heart of Onesimus as he stands before his former master and he hears this letter read. But let's read it again, and let's read it from the viewpoint of Onesimus and think, what would you hear within this letter? Verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, and to the beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner in Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my chains, who once was unprofitable for you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy in you, in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But, meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. If you are Onesimus hearing this, what would you have heard from the words of the Apostle Paul? You had Paul had to trust Onesimus. You know, Onesimus was in Philemon's house, and he ran away. Ended up in Rome, became a Christian. Paul gives him this letter and sends him back. Did he really believe that Onesimus was going to go back? Did he really believe that he was not going to run away to some other place? I see a great deal of confidence in Onesimus in the words of the Apostle Paul. I hear a great deal of affection for Onesimus in the words of the Apostle Paul. I hear words of affection toward Philemon, a man who's rich, and a great deal of affection toward Onesimus, a man who has nothing. Because both of them are his brothers in Christ. And to the Apostle Paul, the amount of money that he had really had nothing to do with the relationship that he had in Christ. There are a couple of interesting things that he says. For example, in verse 10, he says, I appeal to you for my son, whom I have begotten in my chains. Of course, someone who becomes a Christian is born again by the power of God. But Paul felt a special connection to this one because he was the one who actually did the teaching. You know, if you are someone who has the privilege of being able to teach someone the gospel of Christ, or at least be an influence to bring someone to Christ, there is a special connection that is there. And the Apostle Paul felt this toward this runaway slave who's now his brother. He says he appeals to him for his son, and he calls him Onesimus, his name, verse 11, who was once unprofitable for you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Now, this is a play on words that we miss in the original language, in the Greek language. The name Onesimus was a common slave name because Onesimus means profitable. So when you're calling your slave, call him into your presence. Come here, profitable. You know, you're making me money. You're helping me out here. You are my servant. You are my slave. Come to me, profitable. The Apostle Paul said, well, Mr. Profitable became unprofitable when he ran away. But now, he is once again profitable for you again. He's not going to serve you once again because he is coming back a different man. A man who had been a sinner, now he is a saint. Before had been ungodly, but now he is a righteous man who now has the perspective of eternity, who's now surrendered himself to Christ. And the type of service that this man is going to render to you is going to be different from the service that he rendered in the past. Because the servant in the past who is stuck there, now we don't know how he became a servant. Sometimes they were bought. Sometimes an individual has no money. And so a rich individual would buy them and say, I will give you a place to stay. I will give you food to eat. You become my servant. They become a bond servant. Maybe he was on the block. Maybe he was someone who was captured. And he went to some market and bought him on the block and brought him as a slave. We don't know what type of slave that he was. But the type of service that man would render would be different from the type of service that a Christian would render. Notice it's interesting in Colossians. Go to Colossians for just a moment. The church in Colossae, that Onesimus is now, he's going to place membership, I'm sure, and he's going to be a part of this church. And part of the letter that's written to the church there in Colossians, we're looking at chapter 3 here, of Colossians, would have rung in the ears of Onesimus and the others who were servants or slaves in the audience as well who heard this. Chapter 3 and verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. For whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that it is from the Lord that you receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he does has done, and there is no partiality. And he goes on in chapter 4 and verse 1, Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, sometimes our expectations for people are self-fulfilling. Sometimes we don't expect much out of people, and they don't fulfill much. The Apostle Paul expected a great deal out of Onesimus. I'm sending you home for you to meet the consequences of running away, and you're going to have to become a slave once again. But Paul had expectations that he would do just that, and that he would serve, not serving as eye-pleasing men, but now, in faith, serving his God. So, what would this mean to both of them? What would it mean to Philemon to say, yes, Paul, yes, Lord, I will receive him back? What would that cost him? What would it cost Onesimus to say, yes, Lord, I know that you want me to return. I will return and become a slave once again. What would his faith cost him? Let's read through it one more time and try to have both minds in at the same time. What would it cost, clues of what it would cost Philemon and what it would cost Onesimus? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Epaphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith might become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in love, in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, such a one as Paul, the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my chains, who once was unprofitable for you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, and on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel, but without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but as it is, but voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, but that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, and how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put it to my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord, having confidence in your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare me a guest room, for I trust that through your prayers I should be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So if you were Onesimus, what would it cost you to go back? It's interesting there in verse 12. It says, I am sending him back. Doesn't seem like it was Onesimus' idea to go back. Paul says, listen, Onesimus, this is you need to do this. Why? Why would Onesimus need to go back? Well, there's a thing called repentance. When we come to Christ, we are to repent of our sins. Now, sometimes repentance, turning from our sins, serving the Lord, we really can't do anything about our past. Maybe we've said something. Maybe we've done something in the past. We repent of that. We don't want to do that again. But sometimes there are still strings attached to our past that we have to reconcile. Before Onesimus was a Christian, he was a slave. After he was a Christian, he was a slave. Becoming a Christian didn't change his slave status. So after he became a Christian, he needed to make right what he did back then when he ran away. He was going to have to go back to Philemon to complete his repentance, to try to restore that relationship once again. Repentance demanded that he return. For example, let's say that I stole $1 million and I ran away to Canada. I'm not a Christian when I steal $1 million. I run away to Canada, I come in contact with somebody who teaches me the truth, I become a Christian. Can I keep $1 million? Don't I have to go back home and reconcile with whatever I did and return that million? I can't keep living with that $1 million. What if I illegally entered this country as a non-Christian? And I heard about Jesus Christ, I became a Christian. Am I now in the country legally? Does not repentance demand that I go back to my former country and do whatever I need to do to clear up my status before returning again? What if I divorced before I was a Christian for not a scriptural reason, not for the cause of sexual immorality, and I married someone else and maybe did it 2 times or 3 times? And then I hear about Jesus Christ and I become a Christian. Does that mean that my marriage status is now okay? My adultery that I was living in the past is now somehow sanctified by God? You know, Jesus Christ himself, when he was talking about divorce and remarriage in Matthew 19, said, "For this cause there are many eunuchs in the world. Some of them have been born that way. Some of them have been made eunuchs by men. Some of them make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake." I think within that category are people who don't have the right to be with the one they're with because of what they did in the past. They're still wrongly married after they become a Christian, even though their sins are washed away. Repentance demands that they need to reconcile. Yes, it's possible before us to be forgiven. But Onesimus had to learn the lesson that he had to change, which meant he had to go back home. Faith in Jesus cost him a great deal. He lost his physical freedom by going back, but he gained his spiritual freedom for all eternity by returning. And who knows what kind of relationship that he might have with Philemon and what good he might be able to do when that relationship was reconciled. What about Philemon? Do you think through, what would it cost Philemon to accept him back and to forgive this one? Do we have to forgive a brother who comes back, who's repenting, who's coming back and standing before you and wanting to be reconciled? I think Philemon would have to say, yes, I have to receive him back. I have to be reconciled. If God has forgiven me of my sins, I need to be willing to forgive now this brother of mine. I need to be willing to forgive him of his sins. But I guess the question would be, which is harder? Would it be harder to be Onesimus and return back to Philemon? Or would it be harder for Philemon to accept Onesimus back? Well, they're both hard. It would be hard to be Onesimus and go back. It would potentially a difficult circumstance if Philemon doesn't treat him right and to go back to that slavery. But I think in a very real sense, it's going to cost Philemon more. Because Philemon didn't do anything wrong. He didn't run away. There's no evidence that he beat the man, mistreated him in any way. He didn't do anything wrong. It was Onesimus who ran away, and it seems as though when he ran away, he stole something. Philemon didn't steal anything. Onesimus stole something. So for Philemon to receive him back, he has to really take the greater sacrifice, does he not? He's been without him for this period of time. Paul says he'll pay him back, but after he says, well, you owe me your own self besides, well, can he really take that back from Paul? So he's going to be out the money or whatever it was that Onesimus stole. Forgiveness, a lot of times, costs the one who's granting the forgiveness more than the one who is asking for the forgiveness. But Philemon, if he was the type of man that Paul believed that he was, would have said, yes, Lord, I will forgive him 100 times 100 because you have forgiven me so many times for my sins. This is a great testament and a great letter, I think, of faith and great harmony. If you can just forward that off one. Thank you. This is a great letter of harmony, I think. Harmony of three individuals. Of Paul, who is trying to help someone, both of them, do what's right. And of Onesimus, who's trying to do right himself. And of Philemon, who's trying to do right himself. And as long as all of them are trying to follow the way of God, what a great relationship they're going to have. What a wonderful forgiveness is going to be granted. What a wonderful building of a friendship and a brotherhood is going to be there. All it would take is for one of them, Paul or Onesimus or Philemon, to say, no, I'm not going to do what's right. And there's going to be problems within that relationship. God's ways work. Forgiveness is always at hand when we repent of our sins toward our brethren. What would it have been like to have been in the shoes of Onesimus? What would it have been like to have been in the shoes of Philemon? Actually, we have probably been in both of their shoes many times. We have wronged when we need to repent. And we have need to forgive when someone comes who's repented and coming back and asking us for forgiveness. Yes, we can learn about harmony and joy and brotherhood in this letter to Philemon. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to come to Christ, recognize who He is, and just like Philemon, a man of great wealth, or Onesimus, a man with nothing financially, both of them came to Christ and received what they needed so they could be children of God. If you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to believe in Jesus. Be willing to repent of your sins, which is going to cost you something. Confess His name, which is going to cost you something. And be baptized so that you can be born again to start a new life, which is going to cost you, but you're also going to have great blessings. If you are a Christian for some reason have returned back to this world, come back to the Lord while we stand and sing.